It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Thursday morning to you all. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy Rios today on this couple of days before our nation celebrates its birthday. And you know, a lot of problems in this nation right now, but it's still worth celebrating. It's why so many people want to come to this country. It is sad to see how many people are trying to change what we have, what made this country great. And we're going to be talking a lot about that this morning. Out on the West Coast this morning in the city of Seattle, things are reasonably quiet. Hasn't been that way for several weeks. But yesterday was the big story out in Seattle, Washington, where the mayor of that city, Mayor Jenny Durkin, who once described the CHOP zone as kind of the summer of love place, kind of a festive atmosphere. Well, yesterday, after weeks of destruction inside that zone, people murdered, assault, damage, businesses shut down probably forever. Finally, she gave the command early yesterday morning to go in there. And it's kind of interesting, folks, Mayor Jenny Durkin. She only did that after the protesters showed up at her home in a gated community there in Seattle. Then she was upset by it all. Now, all of this had occurred, like I say, assaults, there were murders, two young black men killed inside of there, businesses shut down, horrible situation. But it wasn't until they showed up at her house that finally she did something. The police chief out there, as you're going to hear in this report in just a second, police chief out there wanted to move in long ago, but she was told to stand down and keep her police officers out of that zone as the anarchists continued their activity inside of there. I want you to hear this report that came out from Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer this morning on the situation yesterday. It's cut number 2.
Seattle police finally given the green light to dismantle CHOP. It was following Mayor Jenny Durkin's executive order. Officials say they have made at least 44 arrests for failure to disperse, assault, obstruction, pedestrian interference, and malicious mischief. Even though police took back over the precinct, there's still a lot of cleaning up they have to do before they can move back in. The mayor, who was reluctant to shut the zone down since it began weeks ago, is sounding off. Listen.
From conversations over the weekend, it was clear that many individuals would not leave and that the impacts to the community could not be reduced and public safety could not be improved until they did leave.
The executive order to clear the area comes after the fatal shootings of two teenagers. Chief Carmen Best slamming city leaders for allowing the CHOP zone to remain for far too long.
What has happened here on these streets is lawless and it's brutal, and bottom line, it is simply unacceptable. Black lives matter, and I too want to help propel this movement forward, but enough is enough.
Following their removal, a leader of CHOP said, quote, we're going to have to work 10 times as hard to get our message back on track.
Now, what is the message? And how dare Mayor Jenny Durkin get up before media yesterday and start saying, well, gee, things have gotten so bad over the last day or so, and that it looks like they're not going to leave until we force them to leave? Like I said, she's only acting after the protesters showed up at her house. She was willing to allow the chaos, the anarchy, to continue until it affected her. What kind of leadership is that? Folks, this is the kind of thing that's happening now. It's happening in Los Angeles, happening in New York. Is it any wonder why you have in New York a huge uptick in the number of police officers wanting to get out of there? They recognize the lawlessness. They recognize that the Democrat, and that is the threat, folks, Democrat leadership would rather support anarchy. Have you seen what's been happening in New York? These protesters are getting up in the face of police officers there, right in their face, and the police officers are told, don't touch them. Mayor de Blasio, that's his attitude. In connection with Seattle, there's going to be a funeral service today of a young black man, 19-year-old Horace Lorenzo Anderson Jr. He was one of the two African-Americans who were killed inside the CHOP zone. All right? You probably haven't heard much about him and his death, because his death inside that zone doesn't fit the narrative that they want to get out. They didn't want you to hear about the violence inside the CHOP zone where the police were told not to go. His dad last night, Horace Lorenzo Anderson Sr., was on Sean Hannity. And yes, he's going to bury his son today. But I want you to hear a little bit of the interview that Hannity did with him last night. Here's Horace Lorenzo Anderson Sr. talking about the death of his son and the reaction to it. Cut number one.
Even when my son passed away, when I went to the hospital, there was no detectives there. There was nobody there, no media there. There was nothing. He was nobody. He was just like, we was just there, and we just sat there, and I said, man, why are we sitting here? There's nobody else here. It's like they didn't care. It didn't matter. I haven't heard from the mayor. I haven't heard from the police department. I haven't from no city and nobody. Nobody. Only thing I heard from is what you guys is hearing from me now. That's it.
Isn't that amazing? That's Horace Lorenzo Anderson Sr. going to bury his son today. And he said he didn't hear from the mayor of Seattle about the death of his son, the murder of his son. The media? Yes. Very important, folks. The death of that young black man doesn't seem to matter to the media. By the way, I went on, did a little checking, CNN, NBC this morning. Not one mention of the funeral today of Horace Lorenzo Anderson Jr. Nothing. Why doesn't the life of that young black man matter to these people? Because you see, their agenda really, the Black Lives Matter organization, capital MLM, really isn't about Horace Lorenzo Anderson Jr. and others, those young black people being killed in Chicago every weekend, in New York, in Los Angeles. See, they really don't care about those lives. And quite frankly, when a white cop is involved with killing a black man, do you think that's what this is all about? No, no, no. Remember, Black Lives Matter, their leadership are self-confessed Marxist trained. Their real goal is to take over this country and turn it into a Marxist-Leninist nation. So you see, the death of young Horace Lorenzo Anderson Jr., well, we don't want to talk about that because it really doesn't fit into the story that we want to get out there. And I'm appalled. I've been a journalist now for over 40 years. The mainstream media doesn't want to talk about Horace Lorenzo Anderson Jr. because his death doesn't fit the narrative that they want out there, that the drumbeat that they want. One more thing I want to mention. Joey Rodolfo is a man who owns a business inside the CHOP zone, all right? He's been interviewed a couple of times now on Fox. His business basically destroyed by what happened in there. But I want you to listen to what he's had to say about what's going on in the city council there in Seattle. And in particular, the city council member that represents the CHOP zone, who celebrated what these anarchists have been doing. Here's cut number three, Joey Rodolfo.
Our city council right now, we know at this point, is our number one threat in the city. They're now in a power struggle amongst each other. And the one that seems to be delivering the violence within that group is Kashama Sawant. Okay, Kashama Sawant's district is the CHOP district. Okay, now she's upset because businesses up there are now free to start to get their businesses back in order, open up their stores. And she's very, very upset about that. Her nickname in Seattle, by the way, easily is Karl Marx Jr. That's how we know her up there. So with that, you know, we've crossed into a new path here with her that she's delivering violence to the city. She's the one that's delivering violence. She's also the one that's delivering, you know, she's delivering, she delivered that violence to the mayor's front door. So now I think it's personal between Kashama Sawant and the mayor. So that power struggle is in play right now.
Kashama Sawant, the councilwoman. Did you hear what this businessman had to say? She's known in Seattle as Karl Marx Jr., the city councilor. She's the one that encouraged the protesters to go to the mayor's house. Now, make no mistake about it, Mayor Jenny Durkan is a left-winger. I mean, she's far, far left Democrat. But according to this councilwoman, the mayor wasn't going far enough. Now, that's what you have going on in Seattle. Now, you may say, wait a minute now, Fred, are these elected officials? Oh, yeah, they're elected officials. Then you say, well, people of Seattle have no one to blame but themselves. Kind of like what's going on in Minneapolis right now with that absolutely crazy, idiotic city council that wants to get rid of their whole police department. People have elected these kinds of individuals. Maybe, just maybe, given what has been happening inside of the city of Minneapolis, inside of Seattle, maybe people will wake up. Because what we have seen demonstrated in recent weeks is the real agenda of these pro-anarchists, Marxists. They want to take over the country, folks. Make no mistake about it. These are individuals who it really isn't about, even Black Lives Matter, it really isn't about black lives. It is about insurrection. It is about taking over the country. You know, if Black Lives Matter, and I'm talking about the organization, if Black Lives Matter, if their real agenda was about the livelihoods, the success of the black community, why aren't they speaking out every weekend about the death and destruction in Chicago, which continues unabated? Why aren't they talking about that? Because it doesn't fit their narrative. It doesn't fit their real agenda. I tell you what, folks, all of us cannot plead ignorance anymore. We can't, given what we have been seeing in Seattle and New York, Minneapolis and Los Angeles in recent weeks, Democrat-run cities. None of us can plead ignorance anymore as to the real agenda of what's going on. And make no bones about it. If Joe Biden becomes the next president of the United States, Black Lives Matter organization will be invited, as they were when Barack Obama was the president, into the White House. Make no bones about it. We're going to be talking a whole lot more about this right after the break. You're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. Don't go away. Much more ahead.
Well, these are certainly tough, tough times, aren't they? Hi, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years at only $5 a Bible. You know, I'm grateful that God has given Bible League a platform for more than 8 decades to address the other pandemic, and that's the shortage of Bibles all over the world in places like Asia, Africa, the Middle East, and Latin America. In fact, at Bible League, we determine that as few as 1 Christian in 10 has a Bible. What's that mean? That during this pandemic, many evangelical Christians elsewhere in the world cannot open their Bible and be reminded of God's promises, like 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you. But you know, during this time of sheltering in place, we can shelter in grace. Learn how you can be a blessing to believers around the world praying for a Bible by visiting sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org, or by calling Bible League at 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for C. Lamar Seitz, Deputy Assistant Secretary for the Multifamily Housing Office. He works to implement multifamily housing programs in the United States. Hebrews 3:4 reminds us of the blessings of home. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for C. Lamar Seitz as he supports housing opportunities in the United States. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
These challenging times have shown a college degree is more important than ever. But if the loss of Virginia's tuition assistance grant for certain new online students is holding you back, Liberty University is here to help. We're stepping in to replace your lost VTAG funds with our LU Tag Award and combining it with a $3,600 undergraduate transfer student scholarship or our already low first responder and military discounts to save you up to 60% on your degree. We've got this, Virginia. Learn more by texting LU Tag to 495. That's LU Tag to 49595.
Protesters in Portland, Oregon toppled a statue of President George Washington and draped a burning flag over the ruins. On Sunday, protesters defaced and toppled a statue of Thomas Jefferson outside of Portland High School. This is not a random occurrence, folks. What happened in Portland is part of a national movement to turn our history into rubble. The cancel culture's ultimate goal is to complete President Obama's fundamental transformation of the nation. If they can convince a generation of American young people our nation was founded by a bunch of racist slave owners, they can make the argument that our nation's founding is illegitimate. And once they destroy all the statues of our founding fathers, what's to stop them from doing the same thing to the founding documents they wrote? My new book, Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation, documents what I believe to be a very dangerous crusade to erase American history and culture. You can get a copy right now at toddstarnes.com.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to this edition of Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in. Been talking about what happened in Seattle yesterday. Finally, after weeks of violence, murder, assaults, tearing apart businesses in that city, finally, the Democrat mayor gave the order out there to go in and do something about it and shut it down. Multiple people arrested. It'll be interesting to see if they really face any penalties. You know, one of the culprits in all of this, as I mentioned before, is the mainstream media. Washington Times columnist Tim Young told Fox News, chopped violently, seized 6 blocks of downtown Seattle, guarded the area they stole with semi-automatic rifles, and appointed a little leader who called himself a warlord, and the media spun it as a fun time with free snacks. He says that's as insane as Boko Haram was just reporting Boko Haram was just trying to start a dating service when they kidnapped nearly 300 women in Nigeria a few years ago, Young added. And he says, and those liberal outlets probably still can't figure out why people call them fake news. Hope you understand what's going on here. For this convergence of forces, the mainstream media, far left-wing politicians, And I include Mayor Jenny Durkin of Seattle in that. Mayor de Blasio of New York. These are far, far left individuals. But this is their thinking. This is the message they're trying to deliver to the American people. That the agenda of the far left is good for this country. It's what this country wants. Unfortunately, it's the indoctrination of our school university system. You know, a lot of these Antifa people, you'll notice are white kids who come in from the suburbs, who went to universities, their mommy and daddy paid for the tuition, to be indoctrinated by professors who are far, far left. And taxpayers are helping to pay for all of this. That's the irony in all of this, folks. Well, someone who knows a whole lot about this is Brigitte Gabrielle, national security analyst, New York Times bestselling author, and chairman of ActForAmerica.org. There's a new bestseller out called Rise. She joins us right now. Good morning, Brigitte.
Good morning, Fred. Delighted to be with you.
It's good to have you with us. Listen, I know a part of your great organization, I was reading a little bit more this morning, and is exposing socialism. Talk to us a little bit about what you see going on in the nation right now, the Seattles, the New Yorks, the Chicagos, the LAs of this nation. Talk to us a little bit about your assessment of the Marxist agenda.
Well, what's happening in our country right now is our leaders bowing down to the bullies, thinking if they give the bully the sandwich, the bully is going to leave you alone the next day. And what we are learning is you cannot appease a bully, because the more you give in to the bullies, the more they feel more empowered and encouraged to ask for more. And we saw that in New York yesterday. You know, the demonstrators sat down in front of the city hall in New York, in front of the mayor's office, thinking, we demand that the city of New York, you know, cut off, you know, $1 billion from the police or whatever it was, 100 millions or whatever. And when they did that, do you think the demonstrators went away? They're still sitting down there saying, we're not going to leave until our demands are met. We are living at a time where we are witnessing a Marxist revolution rising in our country. And by the way, Fred, our people do not realize we are in the middle of a revolution, because the conservative people who love our country, who honor our founding fathers, who cherish our heritage, who honor our history, who believe in law and order, who honor our military, who believe in God, who believe in traditional values and the values that made America great, do not realize we are in the middle of a revolution funded by foreign countries with weapons flowing to Antifa, money flowing to Antifa, and they are using the George Floyd issue as a rallying cry to basically come into our country and destroy our country. And we better wake up, and we better wake up fast.
All right, Brigitte, you said a whole lot there, and I want to get to it. First of all, in your opinion, how do we get this far down the ladder?
We, you know, Fred, we got this far down the ladder because a lot of the good people sat on the sidelines thinking, oh, this will never happen in America. This will never, ever happen in America. Look, I remember friends with the Christian Coalition back 30 years ago thinking gay marriage will never happen in America. And people thought, oh, you know, it's not really as bad as you are making it sound. The reason why we are here, you know, they say an overnight success takes 20 years. This principle applies to business. But this principle also applies to anything. You know, people wake up and say, how did the environmentalists get so powerful all of a sudden? How did the Antifa get so powerful all of a sudden? How did we lose control of our education all of a sudden? How do we have a new generation of Americans all of a sudden who want socialism? It didn't happen all of a sudden. It happened year after year after year when good people sat on the sidelines and they said, I'm praying for our country. I go out and vote when it's voting time. But you know what, Fred? It takes a lot more than just praying for our country, and it takes a lot more activism between voting every 2 years. And speaking of activism, on my website right now, on our website, ActForAmerica.org, ActForAmerica.org, we have a petition to defend the police and stand with law and order. And I encourage people listening to us to go to our website, actforamerica.org, and sign that petition. You enter your zip code, and we give you the names of your city council member, every single member of your city council, your mayor, no matter where you are in the country, whether you're listening to us in Florida, whether you're listening in Fontana, California, in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, in Vermont, anywhere in the country. You enter your zip code, we give you your local elected officials' names with a pre-written letter already written for you. With a click of a button, you can send it to them, urging them to stand with law and order and not defund your local police departments. So I encourage you to go to actforamerica.org and sign that petition. And by the way, Fred, I would like to add, we named the organization Act for America. Not Hope for America, not Wish for America, not Pray for America. You can do all that, and you should, but without taking action, nothing happens.
Do you think America's waking up, Bridget? I know you're very concerned. You say more than just voting and praying, and we're not diminishing that at all, and I know you're not either. But do you think what's been happening in Seattle, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, these Democrat-run cities, do you think the country is finally waking up?
I think the country is finally waking up, Fred, yes, and it's so unfortunate that it took the destruction to the tune of billions of dollars on our economy, not just because of the coronavirus, but because of what's happening right now with the damage that has been done to the country, to our major cities. I mean, look what happened in New York. It's going to take billions of dollars to literally fix and fix the damage that happened in New York to the shops all over the country. So it is unfortunate that it took that much for the country to wake up, and I hope they're waking up before it's too late. Look, we've got two senators right now in Congress who want to take away, abolish Columbus Day and replace it with Juneteenth. I mean, what's next? Take away 4th of July because it's a racist holiday? Take away President's Day because, after all, President's Day was to celebrate George Washington's birthday, and according to the left, he's a racist, so we might as well get rid of President Day. I mean, where does it stop? And this is why we need to pray for our nation. We need to become more engaged in what's happening in our nation. We need to become more involved in what's happening in our nation. And I pray that that today would be a defining moment for whoever is listening to us right now, Fred. I pray that today is a defining moment for you, that you would decide, God, how can I be used as an instrument in your hand? How can I be a voice affecting my community and our nation? Join us. Go to actforamerica.org. Become involved. Sign up as an activist. It doesn't cost you anything. We want to be able to reach you when there's a bill or a law coming down for a vote in Congress where we need you to take action or send an email. We make it so easy for you. We want to empower citizens to make a difference in their community without endangering their lives, without going out and protesting and getting attacked by Antifa, but they can make a difference. You can make a difference from the privacy of your own home, praying for our country while you're taking action for our country.
We're talking with Bridget Gabrielle. She chairs and is head of actforamerica.org, an expert on national security. Got a brand new book out called Rise. Tell us a little bit about that.
You know, I wrote Rise, and the subtitle is Rise in Defense of Judeo-Christian Values and Freedom. And I wrote the book about a year and a half, and if you read the book, you would think I was a prophet, because when you see what's happening today, where I talk about how the leftists and Islamists are coming together, how our enemies are coming together against our nation, and you will be able to see the link between Soros and the Western media, all media, the funding to the brainwashing of our children. And what makes my book Rise so unique, Fred, is I not only educate, because all books educate, and I believe education is very important, but at the end of every chapter, no matter what I'm talking about, whether I'm talking about how we lost a whole generation of American children because of the education in public schools and on our textbooks, and I go into all that detail, at the end of every chapter, I have a section titled Rise Up and Act, where I give three things people can do, and they can do it within 10 minutes sitting in their pajamas at home that will make a difference for the country. So I not only educate, but I empower people on what they can do to make a difference. And that's what the book is all about. I encourage you to read it. And especially now, here we are, heading into a 4th of July weekend. We need to rise in defense of our Judeo-Christian values and freedom. Judeo-Christian values are the foundation of Western democracy. They are the foundation of our nation. Those are the values that made America a shining city on a hill. And these are the values we need to come back to, we need to stand up for, we need to develop the courage and the spine to stand up and speak with authority in defense of the greatest nation and the greatest values on the face of the planet that liberated millions of people and saved millions of people. And I encourage people to read it, and I encourage people to give it to their friends as a gift, to give it to their children, their families. The book title is Rise, and you can buy it from Amazon or any place where fine books are sold.
Bridget, we only have a few minutes left. You mentioned the name George Soros. A lot of people do not understand what this man's agenda with his billions of dollars that he has, what he's all about. Talk to me about that.
Oh, my goodness. George Soros is the major funder for so many organizations on the left that are literally working to destroy our nation. George Soros is a globalist. He believes the whole world should be run together in one world government. He does not believe America is exceptional. He is embarrassed of America. He loathes America. So what George Soros has done is he is now funding, as I'm speaking to you, Fred, right now, and our friends are listening to us on this broadcast, George Soros is funding 86 leftist grassroots organizations in this country right now working to overthrow Donald Trump and topple our democracy and transform our nation. He has been trying to transform our nation for years. He tried it under Obama. He funded Obama's organization, Organizing for Action, Obama's grassroots movement, which now became Indivisible and Resist, and so many organizations right now, I can't even go into the details. He is not only funding grassroots organizations in the country, but he is also funding colleges, communication schools that brainwashes students who are getting into communications who want to be journalists. And this is why when you watch television and you watch the mainstream media, whether you're watching Christian Amanpour to George Stephanopoulos, who sits, you know, on boards of Soros-funded media corporations, to all the new journalists on mainstream media, the reason why they are so brainwashed is because they are coming out of political science departments funded by Soros in our most elite universities, and this is the result we're seeing. That's why he is a major problem. The other problem is, Fred, is on the right side. For the left, their religion is their politics. On the right, on our side, a lot of our wealthy, successful people give their money to churches, give their money to faith and religious causes. They are building orphanages in Africa. They are sending water to Africa. But they are not investing in the protection of freedom in the United States the way the leftists are investing in transforming our country. And that's why the right side, the conservative side, is having such a problem, because we do not have donors and backers on the right who, even though you want to change the world and give money to Africa and bring water and save the world, if they give only 10% and invest it in defense of freedom and democracy in the United States, our country would be much better.
All right. We've been talking with Bridget Gabrielle. You can go to her website, actforamerica.org. Bridget, thank you so much. We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you. It's an honor. Have a great day.
All right. Yeah. Take care. All right. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Bridget Gabrielle gave you a lot to think about. Your thoughts on what it's going to take to turn this nation around. Your thoughts on what you can do about this. We can talk about it all day long, but what are you going to do about it? Your thoughts on this. Sandy Rios in the morning on a Thursday. Fred sitting in for Sandy. We're back to talk to you right after the break.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7.05 p.m. Central, 8.05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
The borrower is the slave of the lender. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Newly published information from Lifeway Research shows 77% of self-identified Christians in dozens of states think it's a sin to lend money to someone who can't afford to pay it back. Still, few say payday loans are immoral, and one in six Christians has admitted to taking out a high-interest payday loan. The federal government's Consumer Financial Protection Bureau says a typical two-week payday loan charges the equivalent of a 400% interest rate. These sharks prey on the poor, elderly, and most vulnerable in society. Sound the alarm and make sure your family, church, and neighborhood steer clear of this vermin.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The Cherokee Nation, along with four other Indian tribes, were relocated to Oklahoma along the infamous Trail of Tears. What most people don't know is that prominent members of every one of these tribes owned black slaves and shipped them en masse aboard cramped boats to their new territory. According to the Smithsonian, these tribes were deeply committed to slavery, established their own racialized black codes, immediately reestablished slavery in Indian territory, rebuilt their nations with slave labor, and enthusiastically sided with the Confederacy in the Civil War. The lesson? Every people group, white, black, red, and brown, has things in its history to be ashamed of. Maybe we should be a little slower to condemn people who don't look like us and extend the grace of Christ instead.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Ever since the Pentagon revealed that there are more than 20 communist Chinese military companies doing business in the United States, it's been obvious that, as Senator Tom Cotton observed, that needs to stop now. I'm happy to report it's going to happen, sooner or later. One reason is that a blockbuster analysis published yesterday by RWR Advisory Group makes clear that 13 of these People's Liberation Army front companies are massively tapping our capital markets. Another tell is that a strong bipartisan majority in the House of Representatives voted for an amendment that would block Chinese companies from penetrating our power grid and other infrastructure. Finally, the acting chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, Marco Rubio, announced yesterday that he would shortly introduce legislation to ban malevolent CCP companies from our cap markets. President Trump should do that now. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to the Thursday edition of Sandy Rios in the Morning. Waiting to hear from you. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. Just before we go to our phones, and we have them lining up very quickly here, wanted to talk to you very briefly about Congresswoman Karen Bass. Now, she's a Democrat from Los Angeles. And to kind of go along with what we've been talking about this morning, by the way, Congresswoman Karen Bass also heads the Congressional Black Caucus. She's referred to Castro, former Cuban leader, dictator Fidel Castro, as the commandant in chief. all right, after he died in 2016. And she called his passing a great loss to the people of Cuba. That according to a report from Politico. Now, okay, she's a Democrat congresswoman from Los Angeles. She also heads the Congressional Black Caucus. Now, why do I mention this? Only because you have to understand that the thinking, the pro-Marxist thinking, is not just amongst people who run Black Lives Matter, capital BLM. And those the leadership of that organization has confessed to being trained Marxist. To praise, like Congresswoman Karen Bass has done, to praise a Marxist dictator like Fidel Castro as commander-in-chief and call his passing a great loss to the people of Cuba. Talk to Cubans who have fled that country, many of them to places like Florida. In fact, when she made those remarks, when Congresswoman Karen Bass made those remarks a few years ago, she was attacked from within her own party by Democrats in Florida. What a ridiculous statement. To heap praise on Fidel Castro, a Marxist dictator. So, folks, it's not only the Marxist leadership of the Black Lives Matter organization, but inside the Democratic Party, there is this thinking, this revolution. Remember what former President Barack Obama said? We want to change this country, fundamentally change this country and change the world. You understand this agenda has been in place for a long time. It wasn't just the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis several weeks ago. It goes well, well beyond that. All right, let's go to our phones. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. And let's talk to Chris in Texas. Good morning, Chris. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I just want to expose one of the lies of the left. I've even heard this on AFR. I think it was Brian that was repeating that the South was right on secession but wrong on slavery. Well, treatment of black people was pretty much the same North and South. A good example of that was the New York City riots of 1863. I just want people to look that up.
Mm-hmm.
Expose that false talking point from the left.
Okay.
They seem to blame the South for everything.
Mm. Yeah, I listen, Chris, I appreciate the call, but you know, it goes back to sin. And sin nature, you know, crosses state lines, crosses country lines. It's a sin nature that we are all born with. And that's why we have to go back to the basis of truth, and that is God's word and the God of the Bible. That ought to be our basis of truth. The Bible has, you know, so much to say about government and what God's expectations of us is, not only as Christians, but also we have the history of nations who have separated themselves from the authority of God's word and what happens. Go through the history of nations around the world. Go through what's happened in Europe. Europe, in recent decades, has totally turned against Christianity. Oh, there are a few pockets here and there. But for the most part, has turned against Christianity. Look what's going on there today, the chaos that's being created. And let's be very honest, let's bring it home here to the United States of America. A large swath of this country has turned against, and I'm talking our education system, and even in some cases, certainly our mainstream Protestant and Christianity in general, has turned against the authority of Scripture. And when that happens, then God takes away his blessing and allows the evil, the satanic forces, to come in. That's what has happened around the world. And if we thought for a moment that somehow the United States of America was exempt from that, and this, as we're coming up on the birth date of this nation on Saturday, July 4th, I think it's a good time to reflect on that. And as we're listening to our guest a few moments ago, Brigitte Gabrielle, Christians ought to be leading the way in speaking out and taking action, as she said. Don't just talk about it. Take action. Get involved. Speak up. Because that's the only way things are going to change, not just talking about it. Let's go to Juan in North Carolina. Good morning, Juan. Go ahead.
Good morning. I want to first thank y'all for what y'all do every single day.
Thank you.
You know, the lady that was just on the phone, Gabrielle.
Brigitte Gabrielle, yes.
Everything she said, she's dead on point with everything. Let me just give you a little short, brief background of, you know, who I am. So pretty much, I'm a leader in my, you know, where I work at. I'm in my 20s. I'm an immigrant, and the outreach that your radio station has, you reach different backgrounds, and you'll never know who's listening. And what she said today really, really struck me, and I feel motivated to take action. I'm not from this country, but, you know, I mean, I've been listening every single day trying to figure out when is it going to be my time to make a difference in the Christian community. And I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you to her. And, you know, I'm ready.
All right, Juan. What was it in particular that she said that really struck your heart?
Yeah, what she said about, you know, local officials, and she's having the website makes it easy for you. I think as Christians, you know, my preacher always says, yeah, we pray and pray, but we need to take action. And, you know, her making it that easy for you to do, and, you know, how she said that the left was being funded by people who have lots of money.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they organize almost like, you know, almost like a corruption, an organized corruption. I'm from Mexico, and you hear about organized corruption every single day in Mexico, but what she said really opened up, like, my mind to even a further extent of what it already is, just listening to your radio and just kind of looking on everything that's going on. I said, man, I mean, somebody's got to do something. Somebody's got to bring values back to this country, even if I'm not from here.
Yeah.
Even absolutely. If I can't vote, there's ways I can make a difference.
All right, Juan, what do you plan to do? You say you work in, I'm not sure if you said a plant or a workplace, and you're a leader there. Do you talk about these things with your fellow workers? Is that one way that you feel that you can get more involved?
Absolutely. I work for a bank. I'm a leader in the bank. As young as I am, I've made I've climbed up the ladder a lot.
And amen. Because good for you.
Even though I'm not from here, I appreciate what I have here. And I understand that I need not to take that for granted. So I take every opportunity I can to go up the ladder. And yes, every single day, every single interaction with everyone I have, I got to show the light. We have to be the light.
Amen. Well, Juan, your phone call is a blessing to a lot of people this morning.
Well, I appreciate it. And I thank you I thank y'all for everything y'all do and the outreach y'all have. It's reaching the young people. I'm only in my 20s, but trust me, we've seen enough.
Amen. Amen, Juan. Hey, well, listen, stay tuned, brother. And congratulations to you, Juan. You sound like a hard worker. You're moving your way up the ladder. And I'm encouraged by the fact that you're in your 20s and you're working hard and you're living the American dream, and it still can happen. Thank you, Juan, so much.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You take care, Juan. That's an encouraging phone call, isn't it, folks? All right, running short of time. To Tennessee now, and we say good morning to Vaughn. Go ahead, Vaughn.
Good morning. I just want to tell everybody out there, please pray for Juan. That was a great phone call. Awesome. I want to make a suggestion here, a very gentle suggestion, that we stop making George Soros the ultimate boogeyman all the time, because no one man can have that much money. He's the tip of a spear. And I'm going to make a suggestion here, and I know we're short of time, and it's going to sound a little crazy, but I think the person that holds the spear is our own State Department.
Okay.
We fund a lot of nations. We've given Honduras, for example, I'm making the money wrong, but given them $340 million last year. What did they do with it? Where did it go? And how did it make its way back into leftist organizations that are in every one of these countries? So I just want to suggest that folks look that up and just start to research that and see it. And because George Soros can't be the ultimate devil. I mean, he's just the tip of the spear.
Yeah, he's a multi-billionaire, and it is well known that he gives money to all these groups. Brigitte Gabriel was talking about that. And I think more... the more important thing is not the man in particular, but he is smart enough to see where to invest his money. You heard Brigitte talk about he invests in schools. He is helping in the propaganda effort of our universities to turn the hearts and the minds of our young people into believing the lie that the route to go is socialism, Marxism. So he's funding that idea. Here's an interesting thing. So he sees that as a value to be funded. Here's an interesting thing. George Soros is a multi-billionaire. You will find many times with these pro-Marxist-Leninists, they will not give up their billions of dollars. He'll remain a billionaire. One of the things that they believe is that the leaders of the organization, they have a right. I'm going full circle back here to where we started this morning. The mayor of Seattle, Mayor Jenny Durkan, she was willing to allow those anarchists in Seattle for weeks to tear a part of her city. But the doorbell finally rang, and almost literally, when those protesters arrived at her gated community and went to her house. You see, she said all of a sudden, they don't have a right to do that. And that is the mindset of the leaderships of these Marxists. Go ahead and create your chaos, but don't do it in my neighborhood. I'm a leader. I'm one of you. I deserve special privilege. And that's just an earmark of this leadership. George Soros will not make himself poor, believe me, folks. He'll stay a billionaire. But he's willing to create chaos with the money he's invested. Something Brigitte Gabriel said, and I know she wasn't saying stop giving to your church and to mission organizations. She wasn't saying that. But, you know, it may be time for us to think about, as conservatives, to investing in maybe creating schools and funding schools, Christian schools, where Christian values of parents are upheld instead of attacked. Maybe it's time that we thought about finding good Christian universities to send our kids to instead of into propaganda schools that are turning the hearts and minds of even our Christian kids. Something to think about on this as we approach this July 4th weekend. Hey, been a blessing to be with you this morning. We do live in interesting times. I appreciate the phone call from Juan. You know, when you invest in places like American Family Radio, you're investing in getting the message out there. Number one of the gospel, but number two of the truth of what's going on in our country. Much more great programming ahead here at American Family Radio all day long, all weekend long, all week long. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you again real soon.